Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
In our household, we have this regular occurrence that happens. Our kids never stop eating. It's this disease that they have, and the problem is that if they don't constantly eat, they get to this thing called hangry. They just become angry and hungry because they're hungry. And so a common occurrence in our home is our kids running around, "Mom, Dad, I'm hungry. I need something. What's for dinner? What's for lunch? I want this. I want that." And what's interesting is you'll say, "Okay, well, you know what? Just wait. And I know that you're really hungry. Just 20 minutes and we're going to have dinner." And so they're miserable. It's the worst moment of their life, that 20 minutes before dinner, right? They can smell the food. They're hungry. They think they're dying because they have no experience of what true hunger is actually like. And then you get to this point and the dinner is on the table and you call them to the table and they're just like, "Oh, thank you, Mom and Dad. This is so great." And they sit down at the table. And now right here is where one of two things happens. It's amazing to me. See, the one thing that can happen is if what they see on the table is not what they want in their belly, suddenly they're not hungry. Right? Thank you. What is this? I'm not eating that. I'm full. Can I go to bed? That's what my daughter does. Can I just go to bed? I'm tired. I'm not hungry. You just said that you were dying and now you're not. Come on. The other thing that happens is maybe you're having pizza or something, right? And they're so happy. It's pizza tonight. And they're shoveling it all into their mouth. And can I have more? And so they have more. And they're just so happy. They're just so thankful. And they're stuffed. And then what happens 15 minutes after you put everything away? "Mom, Dad, I'm so hungry. Why don't you feed me?" You know, basically they're sitting, "Why don't you love me enough to give me a constant access to food?" It's as if they don't remember that 15 minutes earlier you had just saved their life by giving them pizza, right? And what's interesting to me is as I was thinking about today's message, I started to think about the way that I respond to God after he does something good for me. I started to think about some of my reactions in the past when I've had reason to be thankful, and I've been thankful, right? You come out of these difficult moments. We called them last week the baseball bat to the face moments, right? Where you're just knocked flat on the ground and you don't know what on earth just happened. And God gets you out of those moments. He gets me out of these moments. And I find that I have two reactions. Now my one reaction is, "It's about time, God. Where were you, huh? Like, I had to go through all that? Really? Come on." The other reaction is, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much." And maybe I go around and I tell a few people, "Jesus did an awesome thing for me. I'm so excited about it. I'm so happy about it." But you know what happens, like, a week later? I forget. And I look back on who I was before and who I am now, and you know what? I haven't really changed. I'm still kind of the same person. And so I want to talk about this phenomenon that goes on. Now, we've been in a series called A Prayer for Every Situation, and we've been noting how God has left us with these examples, these models of prayers that we can pray in the different seasons of life. And so we talked about prayers of trust. So we see something coming on. You know, "The Lord is my shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." You're walking along, but imagine that little sheep, right? Just any time now, something could jump out and try to eat me. But shepherd, I'm glad that you're here. You've got that stick. I'm happy about that, right? And that's us. That's that prayer of trust. "God, things are going on right now, and I know that this is scary, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but I trust in you." And then last week, we talked about prayers of lament. So that's when those baseball bat and the face moments happen. You're knocked on the ground. You're like, "God, where are you? Why is this going on? How could you let something like this happen to me?" But you know what? I know that you are there. And God, just come into the situation and help me. In fact, do you remember what it is that we said last week? Come on, somebody. We said, when you're no longer able, anybody, lay it on the table. When you're no longer able, lay it on the table. Apparently, I need to repeat things more. That's a joke, because if you were here last week, you'd know that I repeated that a lot. Yeah, when you're no longer able, lay it on the table. And so we get out of these seasons in life, and we're going to talk this week about prayers of thanksgiving. And then the week after, next week, it's going to be prayers of praise. Now, as we get started here, you may be familiar with the season of Lent, and we sent out an email about it, and we're not asking you to give up anything this season or anything like that, but we are asking you to begin to prepare your hearts for Easter. Prepare your hearts. Think about what Jesus has done for you and why he had to do it, why he came out of his love for you to die on that cross. And so it may seem weird that, you know, especially if you're from a liturgical background, this idea that we would talk about prayers of thanksgiving and prayers of praise at the beginning of Lent, right? This time when everybody is usually solemn and somber, but something that you need to keep in mind is even in the sorrowful times, even as we walk with Jesus towards that cross, as we think about the fact that Jesus came because we're sinners, because we did bad things, we rejected him, that at the same time, there is reason to give thanks. At the same time, Easter is over the horizon. And so maybe you're walking right now kind of in that Lent area. Maybe you're in a place of needing trust or a place of praying prayers of lament. You know what? Maybe Easter is going to be that time where you get out of that. And that's a time to say thank you, right? That's a time to begin to pray prayers of praise. Hey, I got to remember that. That alliterates very well. Anyways, I digress. We go through these situations, these difficult moments, as we talked about, but what do we do when we're on the other side? You know, I talked about what I do. And honestly, I don't think that you all are that different from me when it comes to those things, right? And we've been through difficult circumstances. Maybe it's just that you needed to trust God through a hard time, or maybe it's actually that you were laying on the ground with blood coming out of your face and you're going, God, where are you? Why is this happening to me? But God gets you to the other side of it, and what do you do? See, if you're like me, you've sounded an awful lot like my kids after God got you out of that. God is awesome. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then something else comes down the road, and you're like, what? As if you don't even remember. And so you and I, we come to the end of difficult moments, and what should we do at the end of these moments? What should our response be? What is the right God-honoring response? How should we be talking and responding to God in light of what Jesus has done for us on the cross? Because it seems to me that our quick cursory thank you, Jesus, is not quite enough. It seems to me that if we're not changing because of the experiences that God brings us through, maybe our response to him is not quite right. And so we wonder, what do we do? What do we do? How do we go beyond just saying thank you? How do we go beyond just going, well, it's about time, God? I truly believe that God has left us this book here to help us and to guide us. And in the book of Psalms within the Bible, we have a collection of songs, a collection of poems and prayers that people have written throughout history to God, expressing themselves. And this is God saying, here, look at this. This is how other people have talked to me in their seasons of life. Use these. Why don't you just use these as examples? Learn from these things. And so today, I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 30. If you have your mobile device here today and you'd like to follow along with notes and with the text here, just go to our website, abundantsprings.church/notes. That's the easiest way to get to today's message. Tap on today's date, abundantsprings.church/notes, and it'll actually open you right to that place in YouVersion. It's a great and much easier way to find things. Once you get there, I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version here today from Psalm chapter 30. Here's what the psalmist writes. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. And by your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning and dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that you've given us examples like these in the Psalms. And today, Lord Jesus, I ask that you will work in our hearts, and that you will help us to know that you gave us these things for a reason, that you'll help us to praise you, and to give you thanks for the things that you've done for us and the things that you've guided us through, Lord Jesus. Ready our hearts to receive what you have to say. Help us to listen truly to you. And Lord, I ask that these feeble human words that I'm about to speak will be made worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's take a look at this passage a little bit closer for just a moment here. Something is going on in Psalm 30, isn't it? Something has been going on. And really what seems to me is going on is that the person who wrote this was deathly ill. We see that he says, you've brought me up from Sheol, you've healed me, you restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. So this person, something has happened, and he's just been on death's doorstep. Furthermore, we also see that not only was he sick, not only was he maybe about to die, but all of his enemies were happy about it. Right? They're all getting ready to rejoice. They're like, oh, you serve God, do you? Well, look at you. You're about to die. Like, where's God in all this? See, obviously we're right. Our gods are better than your God. Because he's letting you go through all of this. And all of a sudden, what happens? See, we get a hint of a lament here where he's like, what profit is there in my death if I go down to the... What point is there in all of this, God? And then we see this great praise, this great glorious thing where he's like, ha! You guys were happy because I was on death's doorstep? Well, God just brought me back. So whose God is the greatest now? And then he says thank you to God. He says thank you. And so he goes through the process of praying a prayer of thanksgiving in the form of a song. And this song is actually continuing to be used. It's a traditional song used during the time of Hanukkah by the people of Israel, by the Jewish people. And as we read this psalm, the Psalm of Thanksgiving, I truly believe that there is an important concept that comes forth, an important thing that we can learn from this. And here's what it is. You can make struggle strengths by giving thanks. Make struggles strengths by giving thanks. Why do I say that? When you go through hard times, we like to say that the hard times just make you stronger, right? We like to say that all these bad things, they happened for a reason, that you're learning from all these things. But you know what my experience is that we only learn from the struggles if we intentionally try to. Right, there's a whole lot of people, and you probably know some of them, who go through the same horrible thing over and over and over again. And they can put their finger right on it, and they can say, this is the problem. This is the exact thing that causes this to happen. And everyone around them is saying, you got to stop this thing, because whenever you do this, this exact thing right here happens. And you know what happens a month later? it happens again. And they're like, I don't understand why this thing's going on. Life isn't fair. And you're like, ah. We got to learn from our mistakes, but we can only do it if we take our struggles and we make them strengths. And we do that by giving thanks. And you might say, well, Pastor Stephen, I have given thanks lots of times when God has gotten me through stuff. And, you know, the things just keep on coming. I don't really feel like I've grown. I don't really feel like I've learned that much from these things. But we're today going to see that there is a way to make struggle strengths by giving thanks. See, when Jesus gets you through your struggles, here's the first thing that you need to do. When Jesus gets you through your struggles, you should praise him. Now, maybe this is the thing that we would normally do, right? We're like, thanks God, you're awesome. You're so great. Your strength is like no one else's strength. I never could have made it through if it wasn't for you, God. Hallelujah. Which for those of you that that aren't Hebrew scholars, that means praise Yahweh or praise the Lord. So hallelujah, because he's great. And don't get me wrong, you need to do that. We need to praise. In fact, the first thing the psalmist does in Psalm 30 is he says, I will extol you, Lord. I will extol you, God. I'm lifting my hand. I'm praising you, God. So when Jesus gets you through your struggles, you should praise him. You should praise him. Upon returning from a party one day, DJ's mother asked him if he had taken the time to thank the hostess of the party for all that she had done in putting the party on. And he said, well, you know, Mom, I was going to. And I was getting ready to leave, and the kid in front of me said thank you to her, and she said, don't mention it, and so I didn't. See, when we don't praise God, what do we miss out on? I think sometimes we think that, well, God knows how I feel. God got me through. God let me go through all that in the first place. So what do I need to praise him for getting me on the other side for? But I think that we miss the point sometimes if we neglect to thank God or to praise God. To say, you're awesome, God, because you did this for me. When Jesus gets you through your struggles, the other thing you need to do is you should remember what happened. See, I think that at first we do a pretty good job of this, right? We remember bad things really easily. And if we get really excited because something out of the ordinary happens, like, you know what? Like, my car was out of gas, the needle was on empty, and I drove 200 miles to the next gas station, and it was all good. I mean, those are stories. We're going to tell those things to our grandchildren, right? Like on our knees. You may not believe me, but when I was such and such an age, I was trying to get to this thing here and like, right? We all have stories like that. And if you don't, just keep on with God and you'll get stories that are just blowing your mind, these supernatural occurrences. But the problem is those don't always happen, do they? Sometimes you go through hard times and then you just kind of come out the other end and you're like, okay, I'm tired now. That was tough. And you know what happens in those moments is you may have the memory of that tough time, but do you have the memory of what God did? Do you have the memory of how you got into that tough situation to begin with? Have you learned anything? Because if you don't remember what happened, you're not going to be able to learn from it. You're not going to be able to grow from it. In fact, ancient cultures in the ancient Near East, the ancient Near East is where Israel is, for those of you that don't know. Ancient cultures in the area of Israel, they would set up markers to mark occasions so that they could remember them. One very big instance of this is, you know, the people of Israel, they'd been wandering in the wilderness, in the desert, for 40 years because they'd been disobedient, right? And so then Joshua becomes their leader, and they're ready to go. God's like, you're going to the promised land. They start to go. They cross the Jordan River. The water parts, just like it did when they were leaving Egypt, right? And the water parts, and they cross over, and they're into the land of Canaan. You know, the promised land is right there. And so do they go, and they charge ahead, and they take the promised land, and everything is done? That's not what they do. In fact, what we find out is that Joshua has them lift up these 12 large stones of remembrance. And he tells them, when your children ask you, why are those 12 random stones standing up next to that river there? You can say, because. this is what happened. Because this is what happened, they understood that it is necessary for ourselves and for our children to remember the things that have happened. To remember the way that God got them out, even if it's just faithfulness. Even if the reason God had to get them out of the wilderness is because they were too stubborn and frankly stupid to follow his commands in the first place. They needed to remember it so that they didn't repeat it. And you see, this is the thing that I'm trying to say. Why do you remember what happened? Do you remember it because you want to dwell on how horrible that time was? No. Do you remember it because you just want to live in that time that God got you out of it? No. See, you remember because it gives you opportunities to learn. When Jesus gets you through your struggles, you should praise him. You should remember what happened, and you should learn from your struggles and from the way that Jesus worked through them. Make struggles strengths by giving thanks. We need to make struggles strengths, and so we praise Jesus. Thank you for getting me through. You're so awesome, God. And we remember what happened, right? Like, so I did this thing, and then this thing happened, and then you did this, and you got me out. That's awesome. And then we have to take a step, and we have to say, what do I learn from this? See, I think a lot of people, like I said, they can point to the thing that caused it. They can point to the thing that made it miserable, and they can point to the thing that got them out of it for a time, but they don't learn from it, and so they end up in a cycle, and they go right back and do the thing that they already said they know wasn't a good thing to do because they didn't learn from it. So we need to learn from it. The psalmist here, we get this sense, I don't know if you caught it here, in verse 6 and 7. We catch a little bit of the reason why he's had this fall, why he's gotten sick here. He says, as for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. Another way to say that is, I said when things were good, nothing is going to happen to me. I am secure because I've got it all together. And he says when the Lord gave him favor, it worked out. God was like, here's everything. Everything was going great. And so he got puffed up a little bit. And so God went and let him fall. And see, he learned that his pride, his self-reliance, and his taking away from God's glory and honor was the thing that caused everything to happen. So he locates that. He remembers what he went through. He does all of that, and he learns from it. He learns from it. Because you see, all of a sudden he says, hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. Verse 11, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks to you forever. Do you see that? That my glory may sing your praise forever and not be silent. What is he saying there? He's saying, I recognize that at one time I thought that all the good things that happened to me were me. That I was great, that I was secure, that I was awesome, I was doing things right. But now I recognize that that was a problem. From this time forth, God, all of my praises, I am glorified by you. I am going to praise you and glorify and honor your name. I recognize it's not me. And so he learns from his experience. He makes struggles strength by giving thanks. So when Jesus gets you through your struggles, you should praise him. You should remember what happened. You should learn from your struggles and from the way that God has worked through them. And you should thank Jesus for working in your situation. How does he end? Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Thank you, Lord. Praise. Thanksgiving. We thank God because if we don't thank him, well, I mean, let's start just from manners, right? Like, as people, we know that you thank someone when they do something awesome. And we thank them truly. And doesn't it add just a significance, a weight to what we're saying if we go through this process and if we're thanking God by praising him and remembering everything that happened and learning from it and going, because of all this, God, thank you. Thank you, God. This is amazing. I think it's a powerful thing. See, when you begin to do these things, when you begin to praise and remember and learn and thank God, what ends up happening is this whole thing gets crammed down into your brain. It's imprinted on you. You've gone through the process of learning. And maybe, just maybe, you've made struggle strengths by giving thanks. Maybe, just maybe, when hard times come, because you know they're going to come. But when hard times come again, you're going to remember, God got me through the last time. He's going to get me through this time. See, when in our times of lament, we pray prayers of lament and we look forward to the future, and when we give thanks when we get out of them, what I find is that those moments where we're knocked down, they get fewer and fewer and fewer, and they get shorter and shorter and shorter. Because here's the thing, we all believe that God uses the difficult situations in our lives to teach us and to grow us, right? Now you tell me, parents, if you're trying to teach your child a lesson and they don't get the lesson, what do you have to do? You have to give them the lesson again and again and again until they get it through their head and they stop forcing you to give them the lesson again and again and again. And so maybe, just maybe, if God is trying to teach us lessons by allowing some of this stuff to happen, if we actually got the lesson, it wouldn't happen so often. And when it does happen, it might be shorter because we go, oh, I know what's going on here. God, you're showing me something. Okay, God, please help me through this thing. And I trust in you. Show me. How can I learn from this, God? When we get in on the other side, we're like, I see this. And we make struggle strengths by giving thanks. And we grow as believers in Jesus. And we grow as human beings. Wouldn't it be amazing to take the most painful moments of your life and make them something worthwhile? Make it so that you can pinpoint it and go, I wouldn't trade that for the world. And that was the worst thing that has ever happened to me, because that situation there has made me the person that I am today. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing to be able to say? So ask yourself today, and I'm going to ask you today, how would making struggle strengths by giving thanks change the way that we look at tough times as they come? How would it change our perception of these things as we're walking through them and we're just getting beaten? It's like we're walking the gauntlet and the baseball bat just keeps on coming and keeps on coming. How would it change our frame of reference for those periods of time? What would it do to us? How about the way that we respond when we get to the other side? How would it change our response to getting out of those difficult moments? How would it change the way that we celebrate as Christians, as followers of Jesus, if we really took the time to make our struggle strength? If we gave thanks to God, how powerful would it be in your life and in my life, in the life of our Christian community, if we began to make struggle strengths by giving thanks? Imagine with me, if you will, what it would have been like to be Thomas Edison. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with Thomas Edison, you should be, because he's the inventor of the light bulb. But what we're told is that Thomas Edison had to go through 1,000 prototypes before he got to the one that worked. 1,000 of them. So imagine being Thomas Edison as you put those lights together, hours of blood, sweat, and tears, and you go to turn the thing on and it, bleh. Well, there's 997. Failure, right? I mean, that's a tough circumstance, but he kept on going. And he got to number 1,000 and he plugged the thing in and there was light and he's waiting for it to explode on him or to fizzle out. And you know what? It didn't. It worked. And for you and I, we may look at that. We may say, man, Thomas Edison going through all of that. Like, I would have been given up after number 3. Like 20 hours, I'm done. I'm not going through this. But the interesting thing is a reporter once asked Thomas Edison, what did it feel like to fail 1,000 times? And do you know what Edison said? He said, I didn't fail 1,000 times. It required 1,000 steps to make a working light bulb. I didn't fail 1,000 times. It required 1,000 steps to get to the point where I had learned enough to make a light bulb that worked. See, that there is making struggle strengths by giving thanks, because as he looked at it and he saw it, I can just imagine it as it fizzled out. And he went, okay, well, I know what I did there. I'm going to learn from this. I'm actually thankful that that happened, because now I can cross that off of my list. And we're going to go on to prototype 999. Because he made struggle strengths. See, when we take time to praise God, to remember what we've been through, to learn from it all and to give him thanks, we are taking our struggles, we're making them strengths through this process of giving thanks. So does this sound like something that maybe might be helpful? That might actually help us to begin to take some steps forward in our life? Maybe we, like Thomas Edison, can make something great that people talk about years and years later. Who knows? Maybe this will give us the patience that we need. It won't to me, but maybe to you it will. So if that's the case, I'm going to invite you to take a step with me this week, and this is what it is. Think of a time of difficulty that you went through recently and begin to pray a prayer of thanksgiving about it. So just think of a time. Maybe you're in the midst of something and you're like, I don't know, like this seems weird. Everything's bad right now. Think of a time that God got you out of it and use that as encouragement for yourself. But think of a time where everything was going wrong and God got you through it, and give thanks and go through this process. And as you do that, you'll be making struggles strengths by giving thanks. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to take those rough times that we go through, and as we go through this process, to really learn something from it, and to learn how to give thanks in the difficult times, and to learn thanks about getting through the difficult times, Lord God. Help us to learn and to grow as your people so that we can be effective communicators of your gospel to our community and to our world. And Lord, so that we can have the most vibrant relationship with Jesus that we're capable of, Lord. So today we give you thanks in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you, but the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes from a true relationship with their Creator. So, God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master, and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins, and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship.
I'd love to help you with that. So if you made that decision today, please send me an email to pastor@abundantsprings.church. That's P-A-S-T-O-R at abundantsprings.church. And I'll be sure to follow up with you. Thanks for listening. And I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.